getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. You're listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester. Dr. Tanya is a licensed naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, body talk practitioner, and edutainer with a passion for helping reduce pain and suffering and bringing more love, joy, and health into your life and into the world. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For more information about Dr. Tanya Winchester, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com.
This is Farah of Tonic Podcasts, and I'm here with Dr. Tanya Winchester to talk about the Lifestyle Super 7.
What's that, Farah? No.
I should be asking you the questions. What are the Lifestyle Super 7?
Well, we were talking in our last podcast about how we need to take care of ourselves to prevent illness. And I think there are seven areas of our well-being and our habits that we need to focus on to prevent illness. And I call them the Lifestyle Super 7.
Mm-hmm. And these provide the foundation for healthy, happy living.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You got it.
So number one is?
We have to eat well.
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? I mean, eating well with so many different competing theories about what we should eat, what we shouldn't eat.
Yes, that is something that is a great example of how, going back to our previous podcast, you can listen to that one, is it's treating the individual, right? So everyone's going to have different needs and different moral and sort of emotional needs as well when it comes to food. But we can't deny that data is very, 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 very thorough about eating a plant-based diet, and whether that gets supplemented with animal protein or not is, you know, of course, up to you, but really plants are where it's at. And to think about this, we want to consider that if we're having a meal plate, a breakfast plate, a lunch plate, or a dinner plate, that half of that is going to be some kind of vegetable matter. And that really should be your target. Half of your plate, vegetables. That is a really good starting place for eating well.
And are there certain vegetables that in bigger amounts can cause havoc? Because vegetables have different properties. I mean, I think of what are called goitrogens.
Goitrogens, that's a great example. So a lot of goitrogens, a goitrogen means it's going to affect the thyroid in a negative way. It might cause a goiter, which is a sort of a lump in the neck on the thyroid gland. And those commonly would include the brassica family of vegetables, which are things like broccoli and kale, cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. A lot of those veggies, if someone has a thyroid issue, may not be suitable. And again, we have to sort of treat the individual. But kale and broccoli, for example, are great, especially in their cooked form. Raw, they might also have this same sort of tendency. Another category that you might have heard of is something called lectins. Lectin foods are basically... Lectin is an anti-nutrient that will sort of prevent nutrient absorption. Another example is phytic acid. So lectin-rich foods include the nightshade vegetables, which are the potatoes and the tomatoes and eggplant and peppers as examples. So in huge quantities, those things may not be good for some folks.
Mm-hmm. And what about foods that may cause inflammation?
Yeah, and that's going to be different for everyone, but... Actually, I probably have maybe mentioned in a blog post before, I can link to it. There's a lovely eating program I like to follow called The Plan, or The Metabolism Plan now in its more evolved form. And that book teaches us how to find the foods that are actually causing us inflammation on an individual basis. And when we're eating inflammatory foods, it's going to cause changes in the thyroid function, it's going to cause changes in energy, it's going to cause changes in digestion, changes in the immune system, and really now they're able to link the majority of chronic illness to some kind of inflammation. So some of the higher reactive foods that you would think are actually healthy are very interesting. Oatmeal is in that category, asparagus, turkey, salmon, black beans, Greek yogurt. So even though we would consider these things to be, you know, natural and healthy, in a lot of individuals, they actually might cause inflammation.
Mm-hmm. And is there any modality that you work with to test whether what foods work well for certain people?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly blood tests that we can do. I do find them a little bit limiting. They don't measure all of the ways we can react to food. But I just do muscle testing in my office, and I ask the body, is it a priority to avoid this food right now? And through muscle testing, I can get a yes or no response to that question. You know, no test is perfect, but it gives us a pretty good roadmap about where to start with folks. But I think that's one really key aspect of eating well, is making sure that you're not taking in anything that's reactive to you as an individual.
And what kind of results do people notice when they eliminate the foods that their body doesn't digest or process well?
It can be anything from weight loss, less joint pain, less digestive issues, better sleeping. That's a big one, is sleep. More energy, better breathing. So like asthma, those kind of conditions are improved. Skin is a big one. Skin takes a bit longer to heal typically, but skin is highly sensitive to reactive foods.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Okay, so we have a list to get through. That was the first one, to eat better and eat well. What's the next one?
Okay, so next in our Lifestyle Super 7 is we have to drink well. This one's fairly short and easy to describe, but we need to drink lots of clean water. Ideally, you're filtering your water. There are 50 to 80 different chemicals in your tap water in your home, and those can range from heavy metals to different medications to different sort of runoff products of industrial chemicals. So the filtering your water is a good idea. And then point B on water intake is the amount, and it has to be the right amount. And this is also individual, and it's based on body weight. So you take your weight in pounds. So let's just say 150 pounds. You divide that by 2, we get 75. That's the number of ounces of water a day to drink. So 75 ounces of water per day. So that's a simple formula. Half your weight in pounds, in ounces.
Mm-hmm. And what about things that we shouldn't drink?
Yeah, anything that's really sugary, so fruit juices I would advise against. Alcohol, of course, in moderation. There is good information around, you know, having herbal teas, and that would actually count as part of your water intake, so you don't have to have extra. And green teas, black teas, those would also be counted in your water intake, up to 2 cups worth, so 500 mils. So there is some variation. If you don't like plain water, I suggest doing things like putting cucumber slices in there, lemon in there, berries in there. I don't suggest those little squeezy water flavoring things. Of course, they're filled with chemicals, and that's exactly the opposite of what we're trying to do here.
Mm-hmm. And what do we notice when we drink the right amount of fluid? What impact does that have on our bodies?
The two most common things I see are people will easily and happily lose that 5 to 7 pounds that they've been carrying around. And it's like, oh, wow, it's a miracle. Well, no, now you're just hydrated and your body's functioning well. And the other thing is skin clearing up. And that was something that was true for me when I went to university. I was covered in eczema, and I was dancing at a very high level and started consuming the right amount of water for myself, finally. And my eczema cleared up. So that was a big one. I see that in my patients as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so eat well, drink well.
Yes, number 3 in our Lifestyle Super 7 is sleeping well.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a big one in society today. So many problems with insomnia and not sleeping.
Yeah.
How do we sleep well? Is there like proper sleep hygiene?
Yes, 100%. And probably a lot of you know this already, but you know, the blue light that we're exposed to is really damaging to our melatonin. Our melatonin is our sleep hormone, and it needs darkness to function. It needs daylight, first of all, so getting outside and seeing the sunshine. But it also needs darkness. So stopping blue light exposure, I would say 8 or even earlier, 6 in some cases, and making sure there is zero light in your bedroom, including from clocks, and no phones in the bedroom. Sleeping with an eye mask is a great idea if you don't have access to, say, blackout curtains. But the darkness is really important to reset the cycle. And you can also do things that will support sleep and melatonin production, and deep breathing is an example of that. And you can actually, if you spend 11 minutes before bed, doing deep abdominal breathing. You can triple your melatonin while you sleep. So that's something that's free. It's completely easy and accessible to everyone and has such a huge impact, like tripling your melatonin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And really, as adults, we need to be getting between 7 and 9 hours of sleep. This is not, you know, you're not going to get a prize for getting 4 hours and getting more stuff done. Like, you're not, there's no prize. There's just an early passage to death. And I hate to be dramatic about that, but that's legitimately proven in scientific literature. Like, we need sleep to live. Arianna Huffington of Huffington Post and other media outlets, she wrote a whole book on the importance of sleep, and it's called Thrive. And this came about because she ended up passing out and hitting her head on the corner of a coffee table and I think concussing herself. And because she was so underslept, because she was trying to achieve so much in her day. And that's not going to work in the long term. So thankfully, people are becoming more sleep conscious. I'm grateful for that, but we have still a lot of work to do.
So it seems that's an interesting thing that you mentioned, this whole achievement-oriented culture that may place undue expectation or on us and what we actually have the capacity to do. But what about, you know, emotional and stressors of high expectations or other kinds of things that may affect our sleep?
Yeah, that sort of busy mind not being able to shut off, right? And I think that is another big plague for folks as they're trying to sleep. And so there's different strategies that we might use around that. Different visualization techniques, different practices. There are lots of options there. So I'm going to actually leave that because we do have a sleep podcast scheduled down the road. But we just know that number 3 in our Lifestyle Super 7 is sleep well. Again, the simple breathing technique to triple your melatonin, darkness, reducing blue light. Those are good starting spots.
Great. What's next on the Lifestyle Super 7?
Okay, number 4 is moving well. So we have to move our bodies.
And what are there best ways to move our bodies, or is it very individual?
It's going to be individual, partially based on what you're able to do, partially based on what you're trained to do, and also partially on what you enjoy to do. And, you know, I think that we overcomplicate movement. It doesn't have to be fancy, and it doesn't have to take a lot of time. Even 20 to 30 minutes is great. And if that means getting out and going for a walk, or if that means, you know, doing some burpees, or if that means like shaking your booty in your bedroom, like yoga, it doesn't need to be complicated, you know.
So it doesn't mean we have to get an expensive gym membership and go to the gym if we don't really want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the more that we can find things we enjoy, and if you're someone who needs to sort of be social and enjoy that play with other people, then make that real for you. Join a hiking group, or, you know, join a swim club or something. But, you know, just do what your body wants to do. And everyone has some kind of movement that they enjoy doing.
And what is, you know, what happens when we don't move?
Oh, stagnation. Everything happens when we don't, nothing happens when we don't move. So our circulation gets sluggish, we're not getting oxygen to our tissues, we're not clearing toxins through our sweat, we're not getting an emotional release, an emotional stress release. We are not keeping our bones healthy. So weight bearing exercise is one of the most important things we can do to keep our bones healthy. On and on and on and on it goes, right?
And what kind of movement do you do personally?
Burpees. I love burpees. I'm crazy, but I love them. So I do a lot of body resistance work at home. I also am a salsa dancer, so I go salsa dancing and taking the pooch for walks. So those would be my main 3 things.
So eat well, drink well, sleep well, move well. What's the next on our Lifestyle Super 7?
Eliminate well. And so we're talking about poo here, but we're also poop. Everyone poops. But we're also talking about urine. We're talking about sweat. We're talking about saliva, all of the places that our body excretes or releases. And there's a few strategies that we can talk about to make that happen. A couple of them we've actually already covered. And one of them is the movement. Movement will actually help your bowels move. And drinking enough water is also going to help that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we can do is improve our digestion through the use of bitter medicines or herbs. And one of great example of this that's super simple that you can get at your grocery store is apple cider vinegar. Very bitter and sour, and that's actually going to stimulate your entire, your digestive juices in your entire system to allow, you're going to get more nutrients out of your food, and also it's going to stimulate what's called peristalsis, which is the movement of the intestines.
So how much would you take of apple cider vinegar?
A teaspoon before each meal, and I would put it in a little bit of water, like an ounce or two of water. Yeah. And eliminating oil, also, like I mentioned, the skin, we sweat, and also our, so saunas are great for that, and also something called dry skin brushing, which is when you take a loofah or a natural fiber brush. Both of these things are dry, and you move the sponge or the brush from the edges, so tiptoes, fingers, all the way towards essentially the core, the heart, and also the groin. And that is going to basically allow lymph to move, which will, again, cleanse and detox, support the immune system. So eliminating well isn't just about bowel movements. It's also about the skin, the kidneys, the lungs. We're going to get to breathing down the list here. Yeah.
And just in terms of actual poo, what should it look like in terms of what's healthy?
Excellent. That's a great question. I'm going to put a link to something called the Bristol Stool Chart here, which will show you visually what things should look like, but they should be brown, well-formed, fairly solid, and sinking, actually. If they're floating, there could be an issue with fat malabsorption in the gut.
Great. So now we have an idea of that elimination is more than just the bowels and more than just digestion. There's lots of different ways that the body eliminates.
Mm-hmm.
But eat well, drink well, sleep well, move well, eliminate well, and you mentioned
breathing well, which is partly elimination. But this is also where we take in, that in Chinese medicine we call it heavenly qi, so we breathe in heavenly qi, and it's called inspiration for a reason, right? So we need to breathe, and that's going to allow us to take in good things, and we need to breathe out, which allows us to release. Now, I would suggest aiming to take 100 deep abdominal breaths per day. And so that probably looks like about 10 to 15 minutes, and as we mentioned with sleeping, that would be great to do right before bed. But if you wanted to break it up, do 5 here, 5 there, 5 over here. I like the rule of waiting. So if you're ever in the line up at the grocery store, you do your deep breathing. If you're ever waiting at a red light, you do your deep breathing. If you're ever waiting in a doctor's office, you do your deep breathing. And you get 5 in here, 5 in there, 10 over here, and they add up to that 100 per day. Also put little sticky notes in places, mirrors, back of doors, computer screens, dashboards in your car to remind you. Breathe. You don't breathe, you die. Period. Breathe.
So abdominal breathing, you know, so many people may be caught into a breathing pattern that might not involve the abdomen in terms of belly breathing.
Yes.
So what does it look like?
Oh, great question. So imagine as you're sitting or lying that there's a cylinder that is hanging out just behind your breastbone, so in between your pec muscles or your breast tissue, and it goes down to just above your belly button. So there's this kind of column in there. And as you breathe out, that column is going to get longer, and it's also going to expand in diameter. And this is going to actually push out all the right anatomy. So your ribs are going to move out to the side, your belly is going to move away from the spine, and also your chest will lift. And those three things are proper abdominal breath. And so then when you breathe out, all of that stuff comes back towards that midline and the column is sort of in its original shape again. So mm-hmm. The column expands when we breathe in, the column shrinks as we breathe out.
And we feel that, we can actually see that in the torso, in the belly, in the rib cage, in the chest.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Breathing, importance of breathing. So eat well, drink well, sleep well, move well. Eliminate well, breathe well, and what's the last one?
We gotta think well.
What does that mean?
Well, we got to, I don't know what that grammar was about, we got to, our thoughts are really powerful, and intention matters. So we need to be very conscious about the thoughts that we're thinking, and we can choose that. We can choose to be happy. We can choose to feel peace. We can choose to feel full of gratitude. And when we do these things, our stress response in the body calms down. We're less triggered. We're not going to react to the people in our lives. Our relationships deepen. They get stronger. All of the markers of the factors in our life that actually help us fight disease improve. And it all comes down to our thoughts. If we're not feeling good about something, it's because we're having a bad thought about something. And so we can actually change our thoughts. We've got a whole podcast on this that I'll link to this. But one of the things that I like to suggest to folks, and I got this from my own personal coach, is when you're not feeling good, again, you've created an interpretation, a negative thought about something. So what are 7 other interpretations that you can come up with? And then once you have that list of 7, most likely now you're not as triggered because you're feeling actually a bit of compassion. And you can have something that you can focus your energy on that's more positive. So thinking well is where the stress component comes in to all of this. And it's huge. You know, 70 to 80% it's estimated of disease is actually caused by stress. So when we learn these tools, these techniques to actually consciously change how we're thinking, the entire physiology shifts. So that's what I mean when I say think well.
Mm-hmm. That we choose happy, harmonious thoughts that serve our own well-being and serve our perception of the world that doesn't foster doubt or hopelessness or cynicism, but the opposite.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. I know that that's a lifelong practice. Would you agree?
100%. Again, and this is not something that we're going to do once, right? We can't be healthy once. We have to work on these things all the time. And I know there was a ton of information. So I would, as a listener, pick one thing and focus on that for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe you focus on your breathing. And then maybe you're going to, you know, once that becomes a habit, then you maybe layer in the next thing. Maybe you're going to work on having a really nutritious breakfast as your next thing.
Mm-hmm. So one step at a time,
yeah,
until it becomes a habit.
Yeah, this is not a sprint. You know, life, even though it's quick and it's over fast, it's endurance race.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tanya.
You're so very welcome. Till next time.
Till next time.
You've been listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester, getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For any health concern, it's always best to make an appointment to see a licensed medical practitioner. For more articles and blog posts, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com, or visit us in beautiful Nanaimo, BC at Tonic Naturopathic Clinic. Have a delightful day.